Hey, racing fans, Steve Wolf here for Flying Turns. With me today is the founder of the International Equine Network, Scott Miller. And Scott, we've got some black book information to get into today.
Oh, Steve, you don't know how excited I'm in about that, to hear your take on the sale, because a good majority of those horses will be coming to us here at Sunshine Meadow.
Oh, that's right. And let me tell you, the 2019 sale in Harrisburg ended with the second highest gross money spent in its history. Over $67 million was spent in the Monday through Friday session in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It comes out to an average of over $45,000 per horse, which is the highest average ever.
Steve, do you think that is a lot of new money? Is it old money? What do you think the cause of that was?
Well, it's industry money, insiders, absolutely. But what's happened in the past couple of years, and I'll credit Anthony McDonald up in Canada, is they're beginning with this fractional ownership, where you or I or anyone on the street that's interested in owning a piece of a racehorse can get it for as much as $1,000, even less, and they can own a piece of a very, very nice young horse. And I think that's one of the keys to seeing more money spent, because people are syndicating and selling fractional ownership. Plus, you do have the mainstay of the regular owners coming into the sport. And the outlook is getting stronger. Paul Spears, the CEO of Hanover Shoe Farm, said it best. He said, look at Ohio, how the purses and everything are growing. And look at the state of Illinois, Hawthorne Racecourse, and then a new racecourse coming. And believe it or not, the Nevada Harness Racing Group is getting underway, and they have site plans for a new racetrack. This is all building up for years to come. That's going to help the industry.
Well, you know, you're right about that, Steve, because here at Sunshine Meadow, starting here next month, or actually it gets ramped up in January, which we'll be doing a show from on the deck with Myron Bell and Tony Alanya Stable. And I know Tony's got over 80 horses with us here, and a lot of those are going to be put into the syndication on multiple buyers. So, I'm looking forward to that. Do you think that that's going to be a common practice, or do you think that there's going to be one guy that just owns a horse outright?
Well, no, there's going to be a wide mixture going out there. I mean, there's strong people in the industry who have been there for years, and they're continuing to buy. If they're doing well, they're buying more. But the prices are really I don't want to say astronomical. They're very, very high. And some farms did go out. In other words, White Birch Farm, which has been a big player in the industry, they consigned their all their horses, and that amounted to $4.5 million of that added to the sale. But in the same vein, you've got places like Hanover Shoe Farm themselves, who their syndicate manager and vice president, Dr. Bridget Shablonsky, they ended up selling $14 million worth of horse flesh at the sale. But some of that so-called profit came right back, because they paid $340,000 for Piercy Blue Chip, which is, unbelievable. And they have 36 breedings to the new stallion Green Shoes, so they're looking for additional trotting mares to add to this. And all this money is being spent: brood mares, stallions, racehorses, yearlings. It's just a really big upswing that's very positive.
Well, you know what was exciting for me today is we got about 30 horses on the track here this morning, and they're all being broke to the carts, and they're starting to educate them and get them used to the racehorse industry. And I thought this morning one was very, very difficult. He had laid out. He'd all kinds of problems. And I told the trainer, I said, I'm taking $2 right now to bet on him and the Hamilton. And it's amazing, and I'm very fortunate to be here because I'm going to see these horses go from a very good bloodline to a good trainer to good races and maybe Hamiltonian.
No, you're absolutely right. And, the sale is a major indicator, this sale, of course, Lexington, of where the harness racing industry is going. And with both Lexington and Harrisburg recording record sales, that's going to reflect over the racing season come 2020 and 2021. I mean, for the years to come, the big buyers, the Hanover Shoe Farms, the Ted Gewirtz, the Steve Stewart of Hunterdon Farms, he's buying broodmares. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know what's scary about it is to see, how it's been a business for a long time, but now it's becoming a social event.
Right.
Here at Sunshine Meadows, we have on the deck, and you see some of the most talented trainers and owners, here every Saturday. They get together. They have a little brunch. They watch their horses train. They've got numbers on the horses so they can see their horses go out, And so I think it's things like that are bringing new people, to the business, because I have noticed over the last 5 years, a lot of new faces, here. And so hopefully that'll be a trend that won't stop.
Those new faces are going to be all over the place. Granted, there are, I would say, probably half of the yearlings that are being broken and the 2 and 3 year olds being rested and then brought back are in the northern part of the country between the East Coast, the Midwest, and Canada. But the other half are all down, and majority of them in Florida. I mean, just in Florida alone, all these yearlings and horses being rested up, they're going to be at Sunshine Meadows. They're going to be at the South Florida Trotting Center. Well, they call it Olympia Equestrian Center now, but there's also Spring Garden Ranch in Ocala and the Palmetto Trotting Center up in Jupiter, and Southern Oaks in Orlando. I mean, Ron Burke trains there, and my God, I don't know how many, yearlings he's going to be breaking, 2 year olds he's going to have for next season. And then, of course, there's Pinehurst. There's other tracks, not as big as that, but each of the tracks I mentioned hold anywhere from 500 to 1,000 horses. So there's going to be plenty of very well bred stock.
Oh, when the exciting thing for me is I'm just now starting to recognize the drivers. I'm a thoroughbred person and knew very little about standardbreds until I met you, Steve, up at Freehold, New Jersey. And then once I started looking at the series of races, like coming up the TVG races at the Meadowlands, it's amazing. That's going to be a great day of racing. And if you're in the Meadowlands area, I think it would be worth
the time.
You'll see.
No, that's right. East Rutherford, New Jersey, Saturday, November 23rd. They have their 4 2-year-old finals, the Valley Victory, the Governor's Cup, the Goldsmith Maid, and the Valley Victory for the Trotters. They also have the TVG finals, 4 of them. And those purses on just that one day, and this is the end of November, going to total $2.6 million. I mean, I don't know where else, you're racing for that kind of money this late in the year.
Well, yeah, there's another question I was going to ask you. With it being late in the year and that type of money, when will the horses that, we have here, when will they start looking towards that big money and get on the road to the Hambone, to the Jug, and, races like that?
usually the three-year-olds come back in May. They got to be ready. There's a couple big Grand Circuit races, the Dexter Trot Cup, the Lady Suffolk. That's when they start on the road to the Hamiltonian. The two-year-olds, of course, they don't start until July, but then again, they race hard throughout the rest of the summer. But the 3 and 4 year old programs that are set up are going to, by May, they're going to get going. And yes, they're going to, it culminates to a degree with the Hamiltonian, but then there's the Breeders' Crown and the TVG series and, other events where, I don't want to say longevity, but, it's tough to keep these horses going. I mean, there's so much money. There's a lot of money out there, especially for a good horse.
Well, I noticed one thing this year that I've seen some races where they had an international flavor to it, like they did at Yonkers, the international, was it the Trot, I believe. Do you think we'll ever see international horses invading our country for racing, a series of races that would lead them to the Hamiltonian or to the Joe?
Well, they're starting, and there was a lot of talk at the sales about how much the European people, predominantly the Swedes, Norwegian, Finnish, not really the French, but especially the Swedes, they're buying a lot of American horses, and people say, well, they're taking the money, whatever, it's going out of the country when they win the races and stuff like that. But they're absolutely wrong, because here they are back in Lexington and Harrington, back paying $300,000 and $400,000 for well-bred horses that they're going to train in the United States. They're going to race in the United States. And perhaps when they're 4 or 5 years old, they're going to go to Europe. When are we going to see those horses start coming here? We will, from Sweden. We did see it with Sebastian Kay. We saw it with Lazarus N. That's, there's a great example. And now he's standing stud in both continents, both in Australia and in the United States.
Well, that'd be a good horse to follow to see how his sale prices compare, from outside the country to, inside the country. And speaking of going international, I believe you're going to be going somewhere this winter too.
That's right. Yeah. My main job is working for HarnessLink.com, which covers harness racing around the world, and thus I'll be heading over to Paris at the end of January to see the biggest trotting race in all of Europe, one of the biggest races in all of harness racing, the Prix de Mérique, which I believe goes for about €1 million, which actually makes it the richest race there is in the world.
Yeah. Now, as far as weather is concerned, that was one of the things that I was thinking about earlier today. It's been kind of rainy here, and the temperature's starting to drop. And do the horses racing in warmer weather have a little bit different take on racing? For example, in Pinehurst, North Carolina, their weather there is not like it is here in South Florida or Central Florida. Do you have an advantage training in the heat opposed to training in the conditions where they're racing?
Well, and if you go back in history long enough, the horses that came here to the United States from Cortez adapted very well in all climates. They can take the heat to a degree. I think they survive, and they do much better in the colder weather. The only difference is that I think with the heat of the summer, the stallions are at their peak form. Whereas as the weather starts to get colder, the mares get better. They get stronger. I think they like racing in the cold better than the stallions do. It's, But the horses can adapt. That's the biggest problem in racing is when you bring a horse over here, let's say from Ireland, where it's been, you know, 50 and balmy all the time, and then all of a sudden it's 25 degrees out here, it's going to take time for the horses to, you know, assimilate to their areas. That's something important that people have to realize, you know, just, you know, when they ship horses, I'm not sure when they ship them to Dubai and stuff like that, do they make sure they get out there a couple weeks early and let the horse get adjusted?
Well, you know, I've flown a lot of horses with Instone Air Services and gone to Hong Kong and Australia and Dubai. And I'm telling you, you know, you notice a big difference, you know, in the horses, you know, with the water that they get, you know, the feed they get, a lot of it's different and everything. But, you know, I was just thinking about that this morning. You know, we've got pretty hot weather here, you know, so the horses that are coming in from Harrisburg are getting a little bit of a shock. You know, and they'll be like this all the way through summer, you know. And I
right,
just didn't know a lot
the,
of horses
you,
are going to change.
Right, but none of these horses are going to be pressed. In other words, they're not looking to be racing and anything and getting shipped out of here. They're going to be here throughout the Florida winter, which is mild compared to the rest of the world. But they're going to be able to adapt very well. And, you know, once they're ready to go up north, then, you know, the weather's the same as it has been down here. That's why, I mean, if I was back in the business again, I definitely would winter in Florida and then, you know, race up north so that the weather stays the same. I mean, right now it's like 25 degrees in New York or Philly and stuff like that. And boy, that's tough on the tough change on the horses that a couple weeks ago were racing in 60 and 70 degree weather.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me ask you this, you know, having said that about the different places that they go. Do a lot of, and you'll have to educate me on this, a lot of the standard breeds, do they go to training farms close to the tracks and ship in, or do they go directly to the tracks?
It all depends. In this age of casino domination, and I think more tracks have or could be called racinos than just regular tracks, the land becomes almost too valuable to have them stay in the farm or in the backstretch. So yeah, they're driving sometimes 3-4 hours to get to the races. I know out in Ohio and Indiana and stuff, they have farms nearby. I know there's one place in Vernon Downs. There's a farm that's less than a mile from the track. Because a lot of horsemen, you know, go up there and they stay there just for a couple of days and, you know, let their horse run the fields a little bit. They can put it on the track and train it. But horses are durable. They can handle the shipping. It's when you have to put them on a plane and take them to a place they've never been to and, you know, where the weather is drastically different. They need to be acclimated properly.
We flew some horses in from Sweden, and it was great because I had all these beautiful Swedish people.
Yeah, yes, I knew that was coming, Scott. Thank you.
So what I did is we brought water from Sweden, and we would cut the water in half every time we would stop to, you know, refuel or, you know, whenever we watered the horses, we always acclimated them to, you know, water that they were being going to in that area, you know, and they seem to adjust pretty, you know, pretty good. And, you know, so there's a lot of things over the next few shows that, you know, I'm going to ask you questions about in the standard bred industry that I wonder about, and I'm sure our listeners would wonder about.
Sure, and I can't answer all of them when it comes to, you know, I've had horses flown in from as far as Australia. I know how much it costs, and that's an awful, awful lot. But, I mean, upwards of $15,000 one way from, you know, Australia. But as to their care and everything, I really can't give you a good one on it. But I did, Scott, want to bring you back. I want to go back to Harrisburg again before we leave out there. Because
okay.
This year's sale was, I don't want to say unique, but it featured a lot of stallion shares. And usually in a situation, I'm sorry?
That's good.
No, but and some of them were great. I mean, Chapter 7, who's been, you know, I guess questioned a little bit in the beginning of his breeding season, has taken off. And I see shares of him were selling for $126,000, $125,000. There were at least four or five shares of Muscle Hill, who very well is the greatest trotting stallion there ever was, and they were selling for $150,000, $145,000 each. And it keeps going. I know this year on the deck, owner Myron Bell is going to be smiling from ear to ear because shares of his Captain Treacherous were selling for $160,000 at Harrisburg. I mean, it's great to see these kind of prices because people are going to want to get good mares to breed to them, and it just helps the horse racing economy.
Well, let me ask you, all those shares, are they horsemen that are buying it? Are they investors? What's the purpose of them buying that share?
Okay, well, right now here, I can tell you, Muscle Hill, and this is the top of the line. Here's Bajor Norden, who worked for Bernie Noren, who worked for Aki Svanstead for a number of years. He's based in Sweden. He bought one of the shares as an agent for $150,000. Then another Swedish interest, Fly Horse International, purchased the share for $145,000. Carter Dewar, who's right out of Lexington, his agency, they bought one for $145,000. Deal Valente Farms up in my hometown, where I was born, Flemington, New Jersey. They were into buying them too. And there's more. Myron Bell, I know, bought one of the Captain Treacherous yearling ones. And they're from all over. They're from the United States. They're from Canada. They're from Europe. It's a complete mixture in the harness racing game.
Well, you know, one thing, question I wanted to ask you, the general public can go to those sales, correct?
Correct, yes, they're open to the public.
Well, I think that we get a lot in the thoroughbred business, a lot of people that aren't horse people that like to go to the sale, you know, and see these. And every time, Tony Alonzo gets $1,000,001 horse to pay $1,100,000 for, you know, they'd like to see things like that. You know, and I'd like to see the public, you know, get in and start, you know, educating themselves on what they're watching.
Well, I think we're going to have to work together, and we'll get them to come out to Sunshine Meadows to see Maverick, that $1.1 million yearling, because, you know, he's going to be something special, and, boy, it'll be great if he makes it. I mean, he's got an awful big task ahead of him to earn his money back for his buyers. Go ahead.
You talk about pressure on the trainers and the drivers.
Yeah, yes. Well, I'm sure. And I'm sure that they're all going to be coming down this season as they have in the past, the drivers, because they want to keep their good relationship with their trainers. They want to, you know, take these young horses after they're broke and start sitting behind them and taking them in training sessions. I mean, there are some days at Sunshine Meadows you'll see a training session that'll have, five of the best harness drivers in the world out there.
Oh, you're exactly right. We were just talking about that this morning because, you know, we have to condition the track constantly for the different horses that we have coming out here. And we've got some of the best trainers in the country and in the world here. And that's a headache in itself because when they go out to train, these trainers are training them, you know, in groups of five, six horses, you know, at a time. And, you know.
Well, if you get up early in the morning February, you'll see Casey Coleman will have 10 out there in a group.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, in fact, we were just talking, her horses are starting to come in now here. And she's got some horses that are just beautiful. I mean, you know, they got a lot of class to them. So,
yeah, she spent a lot of money in Lexington, and predominantly because the horse that she raised and raced, the world champion betting line, it's his first year. And if I'm not mistaken, she may have 9 or 10 betting line colts and fillies in her barn.
Yeah. One of the other things I wanted to ask you real quick, where is the best place to watch harness racing and where get information about it? I know other than Harness Link, Harness Link's awful good, Steve. I mean, it takes you around the world and you don't even have to leave your house.
Yeah, it covers everything. I mean, it depends on where you want to be. I mean, if you're looking, if you're in Canada, then you want to go to the Standard Bred Canada website, which, you know, is wonderful. It's one of the best websites out there. And each country has its own, quote, national, like the United States Trotting Association, Standard Bred Canada. But Harness Link does have access to everywhere, throughout Europe, Australia, New Zealand, throughout North America. I mean, we even do the results and races from Bermuda, of all places. But before we go, I want to talk about one thing. First off, I want to talk about our next show, which is going to be after all these great races that are taking place. And we're going to start looking into the different categories for the Horse of the Year honors. They're coming up. The Dan Patch Awards in the United States and the O'Brien Awards in Canada. And this means an awful lot to the owners of the top horses to be able to get one of those awards, because that's going to help convince someone to come breed to their horse or breed their mare.
Well, that sounds good. I'm looking forward to that.
Scott, there's one more thing we need to talk before we go off, and that's about Sunshine Meadows Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
You want to get new faces to come out here, this is going to be the perfect opportunity.
Oh, you got that right. They have on the deck out here, it's kind of a bunch, and they introduce the people to you know, all the big drivers and trainers. You know, you can walk around the farm and can't go into the barns, but at least you can see, get up close and in person with them, you know. And you can see a lot of great horses here. It's a great time. You know, they shut down around noon. We have a restaurant that'll be opened up out here. They can come in and have breakfast and, you know, and get coffee and things like that.
And we're going to be doing some shows. We're going to be doing shows from on the deck, right?
We're going to do flying turns an hour every Saturday. It'll be a televised show as well. Hopefully as radio can, BBS can get us on. You know, that type of thing. But it'll be a televised show. We'll announce the stations and how to watch it the next show that we do here. You know, and it's going to be interesting. You know, you can find out a lot of things. It's a beautiful setting out here. We also have a show horse venue here. We have some of the best show horses in the world here. Florida Atlantic University has their equestrian team here. So, you know, it's an exciting morning. You know, you won't be bored here.
Absolutely. And you'll be able to rub elbows with some of the top owners, trainers, and drivers in all of harness racing. Because one way or the other, they all come on the deck.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And speaking of on the deck, you know who is out here every Saturday? Sam Bowie. He's used to play at the University of Kentucky, a big-time NBA star, and he's out here rubbing elbows. Well, he doesn't rub elbows. He can rub up against his knee because he's over 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
can't miss him, you know, but he's got a good stable of horses out here. You know, it'll be exciting, and we'd love to have people out. You know, come and look for me. They can't miss me. I'm in an orange Kubota, and I'll tell them what they need to know and take them where they need to go.
Okay, Scott, that's great. And we want to thank all our listeners for keeping in tune with Flying Turns and the International Equine Network. we're grown by leaps and bounds, and it seems like every week we're adding the special sections and getting everything filled. Please listen to our check out our website at ientv.net. Do I have that right, Scott?
No, it's .org.
Oh, .org. Okay. That's it. I don't.
ientv.org. And it'll give you a lot of insight of what we're doing. You know, please call, email us any questions you have, and
yes.
We'll be glad to.
Cal Density, perfect post-surgery. I've got proof that this works. Dramatic results, much faster than any other product. Cal Density, it's what's inside that counts.
Welcome to At the Wire. This weekly program we'll be doing here over the next year is all about thoroughbred horse racing. We're going to talk about the Breeders' Cup that was just happened. We're going to talk about the road to the Kentucky Derby. A lot of things are coming up. We got races coming up in Japan on the 23rd of November at Tokyo Race Course. At the Kalia Show, it's for two-year-olds. If they win, then that'll put them towards the Kentucky Derby. And then on the 30th of November, at Churchill Downs, we have the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. A few weeks ago, we had the Breeders' Cup for the juveniles, and that's kind of a litmus test for the two-year-olds. It's very few of them, you know, make it past that point because they're just not that quality yet. It's a long, hard road for them. There's an old saying, I hope I don't win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile because you're snake bit and, you know, you don't come back and win the Derby. You know, that makes it tough. And there's a series of races over the months leading up to the Kentucky Derby, the Florida Derby, the Santa Anita Derby, Louisiana Derby, Arkansas Derby. There's just a lot of great races that are available that people should go out and see. It makes a good afternoon. Take the family out and see. You know, at all the different tracks. You can go to our website, ientv.org. We follow all the races to the Kentucky Derby. Got a lot of live racing on our website, that we have. And we'll have a lot of good interviews also with trainers and jockeys and owners. We'll even go into the barns and talk to the grooms, the hot walkers, the people that make all this happen. I'm very lucky to be at Palm Beach Downs here in South Florida. Where we stabled Todd Fletcher for the winter. And his people are just getting back from the Breeders' Cup. They had a very good Breeders' Cup day. They won the Classic, the $6 million Classic with Vino Rossi. And he's going to stud at Spencer's Farm in Lexington. And they've got a lot of good two-year-olds coming up that you'll be seeing in the Jockey Club and all the races coming in. And it's just going to be really exciting. What I like about it is our business, the Thoroughbreds, it's getting real social. People are getting together like they do for tailgating for football, and so forth. They're getting tailgating for, the horse industry. So, that's exciting. But we're doing a documentary. It's called How They Get There. You're going to find out exactly how horses get to the Kentucky Derby. And you don't have to know a lot about horses, because our documentary is going to show you, we're going to show you how they get their horseshoes. We're going to show you how they train, how they break them to the saddle and get them ready to run, how they're fed, you know, the training they go through, the traveling they go through. On the vans, you know, you see a Creech Brothers van going down the road. You know, you never can tell. There might be a Kentucky Derby runner or winner in there. Tim Duda flies horses from all over the world, from Hong Kong and Japan, which is going to be exciting. The camera's going to show you up close and in person exactly what it takes to get to the Derby. When do the owners make a decision to go to the Derby? You know, what trainer do they get? You know, how important is the veterinarian, you know, into what you're doing? We're going to do a great series on from hallway feed. They feed a lot of champion horses. And, you know, people just think they eat hay and water and, you know, and oats. But there's a science to that. And, you know, and that's going to be exciting to see. And then, of course, you know, at Churchill Downs on Derby Day, there's nothing greater than that. You know, it's exciting, it's interesting, good food. You know, there's a lot of things available, you know, to the general public to get them inside the horse business. The museums, the tracks. A lot of the tracks have breakfast at the Downs, for example, at Churchill. You go over, you have breakfast on the track side. You know, you get on a little tour bus and you go back and you see the horses training in the morning. The same thing at Saratoga. Saratoga has the best backside tour I've ever been on. It's unbelievable. There's a lot of horses in Saratoga in the summertime. You know, that's great. And then you get out naturally to Santa Anita. No telling who you'll see at Santa Anita. You know, movie stars, athletes. You know, you see any and everybody there. And that's what's exciting about California racing. Del Mar, Santa Anita, you know, it's just really good, and it's a good family entertainment. Mama Park in New Jersey is another great one for the family. They got picnic grounds and, you know, things for the kids to do, face painting, you know, that type of thing. Tampa Bay Downs is another good place to go to, you know, with the kids and the family. And so I'm getting excited because, you know, holidays are here, but I can't wait to get the holidays over so we can get into the road to the Kentucky Derby. Now, there's a lot of other races that, you know, go on at that track that the Derby is being run at. There's just a lot of things there, you know, for you to do. They've got good grass races. They've got good sprint racing. You know, you name it, you got it. And I would like for everybody to go to our website, ientv.org, you know, to see all the things that you can go and see and do. You know, the show horses, the race horses, you know, everything is there. We got good movies, you know, that run every week. We change them every week, which is really good. And also, you know, call us, email us, let us know. We'll tell you how to get there. We'll tell you when the races are and, you know, who you can meet at the track. It's getting kind of exciting now because we got the Tropical Park Derby that'll be coming up, you know, that's on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And that's really the first true test because it becomes three-year-olds on January 1st. They all have the same birthday, you know. And so that gets exciting. One of the other things that, you know, I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the safety of horses. We've got a lot of programs going now in our industry that are checking the horses and making sure that they're sound to run. There's a lot of bad publicity out there about the horses, you know, breaking down. And it's natural. It's going to happen, you know, in any sport. You know, whether it's the standard breads, the show horses, the thoroughbreds, happens in football, you know, where players get injured, you know, that type of thing. But we have a system now where they're checked by the veterinarians on a regular basis. They go through a real tough pre-race test about, you know, if they're physically able to make it. And, you know, if the three veterinarians that check these horses out, if they're sore, if there's anything wrong, if they notice something different, they will pull the horses out of the race. You know, it's very difficult. And we're making strides for safety, and that comes first in the business. No matter what we're doing, safety is first. And also, that's my take on it. We hope that you come out and visit us at the racetrack and see what all is available to everybody. You know, there's just so many things there to do. We have pony stick races at some of the tracks where the kids come in and they give them a little a stick, and it's got a horse head on it, and they line up at a starting gate, and they race. And the kids seem to love that. We've got face painting at a lot of the tracks, coloring books. You know, we're trying to educate and bring the young kids in to show them, you know, what a great sport this is. And that's a real good laugh, and I love it every time. Every track tries to outdo itself. Some of the tracks will have, the jockeys have an ostrich race where they actually ride ostriches. They will have elephant races. They have donkey races. You know, it's just hilarious, you know, to go out and see the entertainment that they provide for you other than just the horse racing itself. And then, you know, this is the time of year that all the people that are headed for the Derby start looking at fashion. You know, the ladies are designing their hats and their dresses. You know, the guys are, you know, trying to figure out whether it's a bow tie or a regular tie. You know, and that's what gets exciting. And then they're planning their derby parties. And you know, it's a real popular, you know, time of year. And then what I like about it the most, as soon as the derby's over, then you have the Preakness. So as the Preakness is over, you've got the Belmont, and boom, there'll be a Triple Crown winner. You know, again, we've had two in the last 10 years. You know, which is just unbelievable. You know, you just don't see that, you know, historically, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, we're trying to encourage everybody to come out to the racetrack, to go to the sales. You know, Keeneland has a great sale. Del Mar has a great sale. You know, the Classic Tipton sales are really good, you know, to go to. You're more than welcome to come out and sit in the arena at Keeneland or Del Mar and see the million-dollar horses being sold. You know, not a lot of people can get up close to, you know, a horse that's sold for $3, $4, $5 million. But you can at Keeneland and Del Mar and Patrick Tipton. You know, and it's a great time, you know, to come out and walk around the barns and talk to everybody. And you know, the horsemen are really good. You know, they'll answer your question. You know, you can get autographs from Bob Baffert, Elliot Waldman, Mike Smith, D. Wayne Lucas, you know, that type of thing. And then the other thing is what I want to touch on here real quick is about what happens to the horses after they're through racing. We have a program in the business that called Take Two, and then there's an aftercare. And what's done with that, that program is they are rehomed into being pleasure horses or show horses. And it's fantastic because most thoroughbreds race till they're, you know, 4 or 5 years old. And then after that, you know, they usually were turned out in the paddock. Well, now they're becoming show horses. And it's one of the greatest things in the world that you'll ever see is to go and see a horse that has raced and won races all over the country in the show ring. And what's great about it is a lot of these horses have young riders. kids that are 15 and under that are just, you know, starting to ride. And you can see how these thoroughbreds that are very experienced in competition take care of the rider. If a rider's a little unbalanced, you can see some of these thoroughbreds move around and get the rider back underneath. You know, and it's really great, you know, to see that. And the college level, a lot of thoroughbreds go to the college teams. And a lot of people don't know that you can get a full ride scholarship, equestrian scholarship to all the major universities. We have here FAU, which is, they have their equestrian team here, Florida Atlantic University. We've got horses here from Texas A&M, Auburn. You know, it's just amazing, you know, where these thoroughbreds go afterwards, you know, for aftercare. We have a therapeutic program here at Sunshine Meadows that they take kids with disability and they teach them to ride, you know, and it's amazing to see their faces light up, you know, and see how hard they work doing what they do. We had one kid here that he's autistic, and this kid out here, he's a whole different person now, you know, because he's got something and he's got a friend in that horse. And that's what we, you know, like to see. And, you know, we certainly would love to have everybody come and visit with us, go to the tracks. You know, you're probably living pretty close to a track somewhere, you know, or a show arena, you know, or a horse sale, you know, that type of thing. And it would be great to, you know, meet new people. Come out. I love meeting people. And if you're down here in South Florida, come out and meet with me. We'll show you Palm Beach Downs, and we'll show you Sunshine Meadows, and we'll show you Delray Equestrian. We have three hawk farms here, and we have 1,100 horses, and it's quite a sight, you know, to see. But our thoroughbreds, you know, is what Applebar is all about. We'll give race highlights. We'll keep you updated on the road to the Kentucky Derby, you know, that type of thing. And then in May, if everything works out good for us, we're going to give two tickets away to the Kentucky Derby 2020. And we're excited about that. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that we can expose you to. That will be good for the family and give you something to do on a Saturday afternoon. And the great thing about it is most of the tracks are free to get into. You know, that's the great part about it. The sales are certainly free. In fact, we've got a sale that's coming up here this week. It's a team one, and it was November 5th, actually. And a lot of the horses are still there. Then we've got a sale coming up December 10th at 10 a.m. at the Mid-Atlantic Showgrounds by Fassett Tipton in Timonium, Maryland. And, you know, that's really a nice sale to go to. You know, it would be exciting, you know, to come out and see you guys there. You know, introduce yourself to me. You know, let me know what questions I can ask or what you need to know about getting to, you know, a horse race, you know, that type of thing. And the other thing is you got to really start looking. If your kids like riding horses, there's a great opportunity for them to get a full paid scholarship for equestrian at a lot of the major universities. And not only do they do that, you know, but it sets them up in life for to have a good equestrian business, you know, that type of thing. So we're excited. Hope you listen to our shows. We got a lot of shows that we're going to be bringing on. Go to our website, iamtv.org, and, you know, just let us know what you would like to know or what you would like to see. You know, that type of thing. I like having working with BDS in California. Go to their website. They've got a good website. They've got a lot of interesting programming there, other than horses. You know, it's exciting to see what they have. So we're just trying to get people interested in having good family fun and entertainment. And just keep going with it and, you know, go out and see the horses run. Go see the horses show. And, you know, that's about all we've got to say this week. We're a new system here, new station that we're doing. We're trying hard. We'll look probably back 20 years from now if I'm still alive. People say, wow, why did I wear those clothes? And if the guys at BBS tell me, they tell me I've got the perfect face for radio. So I get excited and they keep us going. You know, so, that's about it for us this week. Like I said, call or stop by and let us know what we have going on. And, you know, may the horse be with you. I'm done. The race is over.